Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of the I Want More Action podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Action, here at my co-host, Frankie Cranks.
What's going on, guys?
And we have a pretty good movie for you today. No, we don't. And what movie is that, Frank?
So it's a pretty good movie today, Chris, is we're doing The Invincible Dragon. And The Invincible Dragon is about an undercover agent with a dragon tattoo, Kowloon, continually helped the police to solve mysterious cases, which made him known as a rising star. However, his impulsivity personality dragged him into endless troubles. So, Chris, since we both watched this movie recently, and my movie did not have subtitles, or it was not dubbed, I kind of have no idea what this plot is about, so maybe you can give us a little bit more insight into what goes on in this movie.
All right. It was released in 2019, directed by the very famous Fruit Chan.
Yes, of course.
Fruit Chan had to direct this one. You know, like, what else was he going to direct? starring Max Zhang and MMA UFC former champion Anderson Silvers as the villain.
That's right, guys. You heard it. You heard that right. Anderson Silvers is a villain in this movie. This is fully Asian production here.
Yes, and fully Asian Anderson Silva, Mr. Brazil over here with his BJJ fighting pal. So let me try to break this. This is so confusing to try to break down because this movie's so freaking dumb.
Yes.
So yeah. This guy is a police officer, and he starts off in Hong Kong, in the beginning, he's doing a case where he's like undercover with like some type of mafia, and he catches the mafia guy like that. Mm-hmm. But during this, he's telling a story about how when he was a kid, he met a dragon and it saved him.
Yes,
and that's why he got a dragon tattoo.
Now, here's the thing. I want to make this clear for the audience listening. That when he says that he met a dragon that saved him, there's literally a cutscene where he's what looks like a traditional Chinese dragon in the middle of the ocean or a lake. It almost looks like the Loch Ness Monster in a kind of way, but like he's literally like having like a kid riding the back of CG, but like a live dragon in the ocean, apparently having a grand old time.
It looks like
doing
those dragons that you see like when you do the parades and each person stands in the dragon to make it like walk.
Yeah, it's like a traditional mythological Chinese dragon.
Yes. So he rides this dragon around as a kid, and he's telling the story to the guy to try to scare him, and the guy's like laughing at him, and he takes him in. Like, that's not even important to the story, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He shoots the guy's arm off and gets fired. He doesn't get fired. He gets reprimanded and sent to, like, a small town. In this small town, there's someone that's murdering women police officers. So he gets put on this case, and it turns out that this guy, this murderer, kidnaps his fiancé. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, like, when that happens, they can't find his fiancé. They assume she's dead, and he becomes, like, not really a hermit, but more of like a loner, and he doesn't want to be a cop anymore, and he kind of just does like underground fights for money and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Women cops later on start winding up dead again, and the cop on duty to go and find the killer goes and gets that guy back to come and help him investigate what's going on. And everything leads to this gym the gym's on like the top floor of like a skyscraper. Which actually comes into play later. That's why I'm
mentioning it. Yes, it does. Yeah.
And Anderson Silva is the owner of this gym.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, lady who tried to help the main character through his anxiety problems after his wife got kidnapped, the doctor, goes to this gym also. So that kind of plays into it, too, where later Anderson Silva tries to kidnap her as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's basically what the movie's about, really. It's about the conflict going on between Anderson Silva and Mac Zhang's character until they eventually fight twice towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, this is another thing to know is that this is more of a cop drama than anything.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
A lot of this is the main character like investigating different crimes, and like you said, kind of like, you know, sort of like going off like a loner stage where he's kind of doing his own thing. He's not really like a police a police officer or anything. But
at least a part of the movie, he's not even a cop. He's not even in some of it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it kind of breaches off to his partner or the other guy that kind of goes over trying to solve the murders too.
Yes.
But it is sprinkled in with a couple of okay scenes that we'll get into in a bit too, though.
Well, one thing I have to say is that like this movie cannot decide what his audience is. There's these fantastical elements of this dragon that show up twice, and it's real. Like, I know it sounds like the dragon's in his head. The end of the movie shows you that this is a real dragon that really exists.
Yes.
And, like, and he can, like, summon it.
It's like the Dragon Ball Z dragon.
Yes, and it doesn't make sense in the world that this movie is showing you.
Yeah, because it tries to take itself very seriously. Yeah. Like, it's about, it's like murdering cops. Yeah, it's a cop drama. But it's just really these, like, really fantastical elements, like you said, that it can say it doesn't really, the tone doesn't know what it's trying to be. It's like, who is this movie for? Was it for, like, martial arts fans? Was it for, like drama fans? Was it for, like, mystery fans? Like, you really don't know who this movie was made for.
And his dragon tattoo is, like, it's so dumb. It's like everyone wants to see it on him for some reason.
Like, he has his shirt off at the end because he has to show it off. Like,
yeah,
right?
He takes his shirt off to show it off. It's fake. It looks stupid.
Yeah, yes.
Then
yeah.
The other guy, Anderson Silva, has a dragon tattoo, a scorpion tattoo.
Yeah, which I thought had something to do, like
no,
like,
they never mentioned it
competing
before.
like monsters or whatever. Like,
no,
or, like,
they
ideals
never mentioned
whatever.
It before he takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Yeah, I had the subtitles. Never said a thing about it.
See, missed opportunity there.
So, if you're going to watch it, you'll see the reason why Anderson Silva's killing women policemen. It's the dumbest reason you'll ever see in your life, but there is a reason behind it. So, Frank, here's a question. I actually have two questions.
Sure.
The first one is, would you like to see more MMA stars jump to the film industry?
Only if they can fight on screen. Because
or act.
But you know, acting kind of, for action films, acting takes a second place. As long as they can fight on screen. And Anderson Silva cannot fight on screen. Spoiler alert, he can't.
When we get to the fight scenes. Like,
when he gets to the fight scenes, we'll get into it more, but he can't. Like, and when I say he can't, it's not that, like, he's not, like, he looks bad. It's just, it's clear that, like, he doesn't know what he looks like on the screen. Or maybe the director doesn't know how to film it properly. But it's just you know, there's a big difference between screen fighting and real fighting.
Yes. In screen fighting, you have to have a self-awareness of how you look when you're doing the
move. Exactly. Like, obviously he can really fight in real life, but for screen fighting, he has obviously no experience doing this. And he didn't have, like, any kind of, like, training, or they didn't have any kind of, like, you know, stunt crew to kind of help him look better in the fights either. Because I believe there's all one-on-one fights, right? There's no, like, multiple
fights. It's just
him
versus the girl.
Yeah.
And then he fights the motorcycle men. It's not
a
fight. He just tackles motorcycle men.
And that's what it feels like, you know. When you have most fight scenes in movies, you want there to be some kind of, like, pizzazz to it, you want to be flair to it. You want it to look exciting. When he fights, it's very, very, like, straight and to the point. Again, how you'd fight in real life, but it doesn't look really good on the screen. It doesn't look good when you're filming it, and it makes it actually feel pretty boring because you're kind of waiting for something to happen.
And Max Zhang is a great screen fighter.
Yes.
And Anderson Silva makes him look bad when they fight.
He's great in Hitman 3 as a bad guy. He's great in Master Z as a good guy in that one. Like, he's an amazing fighter. He's awesome. He really is. But you can tell here he's literally holding back everything he's got just to make Anderson look really bad in this.
Yeah. And the other question would be, would you like to see more Brazilian jiu-jitsu on screen? Do you think it looks good?
I guess
this movie's a bad example of how it could look on screen.
Yes, this movie's a bad example, but, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is a very, like, you know, it's a good fighting style to know in, like, real life because, again, it's very straight and to the point, and, like, it gets the job done. But, like, I don't know how good that will look on screen. I'm not saying it'll look bad if you have, you know, in the right hands of a good choreographer, maybe it can look good.
It probably has to be incorporated into another martial.
But you
got to
mix it up.
Striking.
Yeah, you got to mix it in there, because otherwise you literally would just have scenes of people rolling around on the floor, really. Yeah. That's really all you'd have.
Well, what's his name? John Wick does some Brazilian jiu-jitsu in his fighting.
He does. But you can
but
see
he
it's integrated
does, he also
into
does,
it.
You know, like regular kung fu and stuff.
Yes. And it's integrated well into the fight scenes. It's not just him just doing jiu-jitsu left and right, you know.
It would just be people rolling around the floor.
It should be people rolling on the floor, you know. And it's really hard to have, you know, more than a one-on-one fight, right? Because the whole thing is, like, if this guy's rolling around the floor and the other guy's standing around, it will look awkward and weird if you did that in a movie, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you could mix it in better, but it's a tricky subject.
It you know, not every martial arts is made for the screen.
Exactly.
Like, just mixing it in in some moves, especially in one-on-one fights, does look cool.
It looks cool. It does, because it adds a different element to it, where, like, most martial arts films don't take fights to the ground like that, like rolling around and, like, trying to, like, you know, put each other in holes
and
locks and
things like that. Most real fights do end up on the floor.
But most fights do.
It gives a realistic
Yeah, you feel like this is actually what would happen if, if people were fighting. But again, how does that play on the screen? Because remember, it's all about entertainment. It's about, you know, the action scene itself, not just about what's the most practical way that the hero would do
practicality
something.
Practicality
right?
almost never works on screen because
it's boring. Exactly. Yeah. It may work in real life, but it's not fun to watch, really, right?
Unless it's filmed like extremely well, like a movie like Taken or something where like people are taken out, but the way they're taken out is so intense that it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, almost 90% of real fights are like 30 seconds long, right?
Yes,
like you know, you're never going to see a fight in the street or a fight happen longer than like a minute, right? But in these scenes, it can easily go on for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, longer sometimes, which is just, I mean, obviously, again, that's very unrealistic, but it makes for great action cinema.
Yeah.
So
then you have scenes that go on, even though they look cool, they just go on for too long, and you're like,
and
yeah,
they just
man,
don't want
this
to end.
Cool looking, but like the end of the hunt. Like,
oh yeah, it just goes on and on and on. And it's great, but it's just getting the shit beat out of each other, and it just keeps going and going and going.
It's great, it's choreographed well, but it just doesn't end.
You're
like,
all
right, I get it. They hate each other. Can we just like kill one of them?
Exactly.
All right, we're gonna take a really quick short break so you can leave you a message from our sponsor. When we get back, we'll break down the action scenes in The Invincible Dragon. Right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Frank, let's talk about these action scenes because they're just all over the place.
Yeah, they are.
What do you do? What do you think of fights?
All right, so you know, given the fights a 2 out of 5. It almost got a 3 out of 5 because it's a great scene in a fight scene in a train that's literally flipping and rolling down a hill. It's great. It really is. But I just don't think it makes up for all the other shitty fights that happen in this movie. It's just not good enough. And when I say the other shitty fights, I mean like they're bad. They're like really bad. Like I feel like the way they're fighting, they're too far apart from each other. They're barely connecting. And again, you can clearly tell one person knows how to fight, and the other person doesn't know how to screen fight, and it just feels awkward and weird.
And that girl knew how to screen fight.
And the other girl knew how to screen fight. Yeah. Yes. And it just feels, and there's other goofy, almost comical moments that they put in there that are so misplaced and they're out of place that it just sucks all the intensity out of the scenes completely. Which is just I just can't give it more than a 2 out of 5.
I ended up giving it a 3 out of 5. I did. The train scene was friggin' awesome. I agree.
Yeah. Yes.
I also liked the fight in the police station. I thought that was a fun fight too, and
yeah,
I thought
it's
it was
okay.
well done.
Yeah.
There was a lot of destruction going on and slamming each other through desks, and that's why for me it got the extra point because I thought that was a good fight. But the last fight is freaking horrible.
It's horrible.
It's horrible in the gym, and it's horrible on the roof, and it's horrible when they're falling from the roof.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it feels very amateurish.
Yeah,
it feels like two amateur fighters trying to fight each other in this action movie. Like it's just not. It never elevates beyond what feels like it could take place like in a bar fight and like a regular action film. Like it doesn't feel like this big epic ending that you're waiting for. It just falls flat. It's
like they're in a gym and they really don't even use the gym stuff as props.
No.
Like you're in a gym, like just bars and weapons and like. But they're still just kicking and punching.
That's it. And even the kicking and punching is very basic and
yeah,
it's boilerplate. It's boilerplate. Like, there's nothing unique or interesting. There's no unique, interesting moves. It's like literally they took all the textbook examples of like a fight scene and they just slapped it all together. And they're like, okay, this is your scene now.
And then when they're on the roof, it's kind of like, oh, I kick you and you lose balance and almost fall off. And you kick me and I lose balance. And then you get on this bungee rope and stuff. It's a mess.
It gets really stupid. Yeah.
Stunts, I did give stunts a 3 out of 5 because even though some of the fights were pretty piss poor, there's a lot of stunt work in this movie that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Between that the fight on the train where before the train derails, they're really fighting on a train car.
Yes.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using like the bars of the train to do like acrobatics when they're fighting.
Yes.
And the fight scene inside the police station, they're destroying everything.
Yes.
Literally, like the entire police station gets destroyed when these two guys fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the chase, the parkour chase was cool too.
Yes, I gave the stunts a 3 out of 5 too for all the same reasons that you said. It seems like at least those stunts felt like it elevated the action in this movie a lot. Like it needed that. Like it really needed some nice stunts and just to make
Hong
it not
Kong,
feel
so.
Boring, like a boring film.
Hong Kong never.
Yes.
They never
did the stunts right. Yes. And that's one thing that again, it kind of almost like saved this movie because without that, this movie would have been a disaster, really.
It kind of still is.
It still is, but at least it would have been way worse, though.
What'd you do for shootouts?
I gave it 2 out of 5. I don't know. There was shootouts, but there wasn't really anything to speak about really at all. Like, there was just, it's all kind of incidental shootouts. You know what I mean? Like, there's no real like set piece of a shootout. So it's there. It's okay, but it's nothing to get excited about.
I also gave it a 2 out of 5. The only shootout that I really noticed in the movie is the one when they're like in the apartment.
Yes. Yes.
And that's it's just kind of crap.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's not creative. It is. No.
It's shot like a cop drama shootout. Exactly. And what is this movie? That's what I keep questioning.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like a suspenseful set piece. You know what I mean? Like they're just shooting at each other. Really, that's it.
But then it turns into a set piece where they're having up a court chase into a train and having a. It just changes drastically right off the bat.
Yep. Yeah.
Special effects. I gave it a 2 out of 5. The dragon looks horrendous.
Oh, man.
The train crashing looks really bad.
Looks really bad.
But,
really bad.
Like, there's a lot of practical effects that are used, like, during the fight scenes, especially, again, in the police station.
Yes, yeah. I gave it a 2 out of 5 because that train scene, there's a lot of bad special effects. They should have just not had any of that stuff there.
No.
Like, I don't know why they had
don't
that,
let
like,
it crash. Let them just fight it
flying
out.
Flying around and everything. Like, it's just ridiculous. The dragon looks ridiculous, especially at the end. I was waiting for it to start talking and shit. Like, it's just, it's really, really, really bad. It's a scene where the bad guy gets on, like, a raft and a boat and is trying to escape. Don't ask what's going
and then,
on.
And then that, like, wave comes at
and
him.
And then a wave comes at him, and then a dragon comes out of the ocean, and it has, like, multiple heads and everything. It's just ridiculous. No, the special effects get a
and
2
the bungee jump looks bad.
Oh,
too.
Oh god. Like you said, maybe there's some practical effects, there are, but the bad CG far outweighs the good special effects in this movie.
And it didn't need any of those CG stuff. It doesn't need any of it.
No.
What do you do for chase scenes?
Chase scenes, I you know, they had the parkour scene, so I was gonna give it a 2, but I ended up giving it a 3 out of 5 just because, like, it is something decent. Like, it wasn't great, but, like, even the train scene, I feel like it's part of a chase scene itself, too, because they are, like, kind of, like, you know, they were chasing after each other. So, I just decided to give it a 3 because it was some. That train scene is actually pretty cool. So I was like, okay, you get a little extra one for that.
Did you feel bad for the movie?
I did. I kind of did feel bad for the movie at the end because it was just, like, this was rough to get through, man.
I gave the chase scenes a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I liked the parkour scene, but that's really the only chase scene in the movie, and it's not... It's not so good that I thought it deserved a 3. I didn't put the train and the chase together.
Yeah,
like
that's in my mind. I was like, okay, it's kind of part of it because they were like one leads into another. But I was like, yeah, I'll just give it. I just felt
the chase is fun. Like that, she's shooting at people while she's parkouring. Like it's fun and it's filmed well too. It has like a crane camera that's getting all the action.
Yes,
but that's it, and it's not even that long. Unfortunately, it only lasts like 2 minutes.
It's short. Yes, it is pretty short.
And there's no car chase. Oh well. It's not really a car chase.
There is, but
aid people.
Exactly. I wouldn't even call it a car chase, though. It really is an NA because there's nothing really there for a car chase.
There's no like crashes or anything like that. Which this movie, I think, desperately needed something
like
that.
It really needed a good car chase scene in it. Yeah. It really did. Like, it really did. It just didn't have that at all, that element to it.
Overall, I gave the movie a 2 out of 5. I think it's not so bad it's a 1 out of 5 because there are some redeeming qualities in it, some good fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie's just crap.
Yeah, 2 out of 5 is a crap movie. It is.
Pass. Not recommended.
Don't recommend. Don't see this. Like, even if you're bored, don't see this movie. We're being generous and not giving it a 1 out of 5.
Yeah,
because there are like two scenes, maybe three scenes that are like okay, like they're kind of good, but like that's all it is. It's kind of good.
Just YouTube them.
They YouTube them. Yeah, you don't have to watch this whole movie, especially since like you may not even find a copy with like subtitles or anything. Yeah. So like,
then you'll be real freaking confused.
Yes. Yeah, we don't know what's going on.
But my first similar movie is Kung Fu Jungle with Donnie Yen.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie Yen's a Kung Fu teacher who accidentally kills one of his students during a training or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets thrown in jail. And there's a guy outside jail who's murdering all these Kung Fu experts to get to Donnie Yen.
Yes.
Donnie Yen gets released from jail and has to help the police hunt him down. It has like a Silence of the Lambs kind of... Not feel, but like storyline to it where the criminal has to help you hunt the other criminal.
Yes.
But it has some decent fights, but the last fight is really good in traffic.
Yes. Yes. It's good. Yeah. My first one is another Donnie Yen film, Flashpoint, where basically he's an inspector. He's a cop who basically helps this other cop who gets to hunt down a triad, or a gang. I guess they're like a triad Chinese gang. Again, there's some really good fight scenes in it. The ending fight scene, the editing is a little bit wonky, but it's Donnie Yen, and I forgot the other guy in it too.
Colin Chow.
Colin Chow, yes, he's really good in it too. Compared to the Invincible Dragon, the action is actually really, really good, and it's Donnie Yen, so you always know you're going to get a decent movie out of it. But it's another cop drama. It's another kind of like cop film that, again, it's a good example of how you can make a good martial arts cop movie, mm-hmm. and not suck, unlike the Invincible Dragon here.
So I also went with a martial arts drama, Unleashed with Jet Li.
Yes.
So
yes,
Jet Li is like, he's raised as a child by Bob Hoskins.
Yes.
Who plays like kind of like a kingpin mafia guy. Mm-hmm. And he keeps Jet Li caged, and he only releases him to win money and fights for him. And all Jet Li knows how to do is kill people in tournaments.
It wasn't like Danny the Dog.
That was the original name of it, but they changed it to Unleashed.
Okay.
And basically, what ends up happening is Jet Li escapes from Bob Hoskins and meets Morgan Freeman, who mm-hmm. helps him become like a humanize him.
Yes.
One of the best bathroom stall fights you'll ever see in your friggin' life.
Oh, yes.
That's like
crazy.
One of my favorite fights ever.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's filmed really, really well, yeah. too. It's filmed really good.
It's so hard to do a fight scene in that small of a space, but they pull it off in this
They
movie.
Do it, yeah. Yeah, my last one is Kiss the Dragon with Jet Li and Bridget Fonda. Basically, he's in France. It takes place in France, and he's called in, a Chinese embassy, or the Chinese officials killed there. And he's basically called in to investigate. But of course, the French government there betray him, and he needs the help of the prostitute played by Bridget Fonda to like help him like uncover the conspiracy that's going on. It's like mid-90s, late-90s film. It's not great, but it's one of Jet Li's early American works.
The fight scenes, man.
The fight scenes are really good, though, in it. Like, it's
Corey
almost,
Yoon.
It's Corey Yoon. I mean, it's almost like the trailer. I remember seeing the trailer in, like, high school, and the trailer just being awesome. And, like, the movie really
does.
He
fights the whole karate school. Then he fights the twins. He fights a lot in this
he
movie.
He does. He fights a lot. And the fight still stands up, too, because I watched it not too long
so
ago.
So did I. I watched it, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah. It's still fucking great, that movie. Mm-hmm. I love it. Definitely check out Kiss of the Dragon with Jet Li.
Kiss of the Dragon comes highly recommended yes. as a martial arts film.
Yeah. I mean, it's cheesy now, but you get that one thing scene where he has the billiard bowl, he kicks up and he kicks in the guy's face.
It's cheesy, but
it shows you how, like, it's just fun. A fun scene, you know? It's dated now when you watch it, but, like, it's just still fun to watch.
What I like about Kiss of the Dragon, it also has that, who's that French guy that does all the movies? Like, his name just left my brain. He does everything.
It was,
Who wrote it? Luc Besson.
Luc Besson, yes.
Well, yeah, it has that Luc Besson feel to it, yep. like, you mm-hmm. know, like all the other movies he does. Like, every movie he does has that same French brutal style, like, grittiness to it.
Yeah, it's, like, realistic and real. It's darker, too. Like, it matches it, too. And usually you don't see Jet Li in those type of films. Like, in China, in Asia, he's usually in these very, like, lighthearted or, like...
Besides Kiss of the Dragon, Unleashed, he's not in those films, like,
exactly.
at all.
Yes, he's not. Usually, like, very lighthearted films or, like, mm-hmm. where he plays, like, Wong Fei-Hung, who's, like, a legend. So it's, like, it's a different kind of theme to the whole... his films.
Well, like, here he did a lot of those hip-hop-y...
The hip-hop, yeah,
Romeo
exactly.
Must Die and what's mm-hmm. the other one? Cradle to the Grave.
Yep, mm-hmm, yep.
So we'll get to those eventually.
We will.
Yep,
we're
going to have a whole episode on hip-hop... in action movies.
And we will dissect what it was while they work
and
don't
work. Because the early 2000s, I don't know what the hell was going on.
Every movie studio had their hip-hop martial arts film that they had to use. They had to get out the gate and they had to film it no matter what. Like, no matter what they had to do.
Not one of them is good.
Not one of them. No, they're all cheesy. They're all bad.
They all have, like, DMX in it.
except for Exit Wounds, which is a great movie, by the way.
Well, you know who the star of Exit Wounds is.
Of course.
How can you go wrong?
The man, the myth, the legend himself, Steven Seagal.
Mr. Steven Seagal.
Steven, I'm Russian, Italian, Asian Seagal.
Oh, he's Native American, too.
Native American, too, that's right.
And he's also a blues player, and a jazz player, and whatever the hell else he does. You ever see that
bass
picture
guitarist?
With, like, the little banjo guitar thing with no sleeves on his shirt?
Dude, I don't know what that guy... I think he just wakes up every day, and he's like, what am I going to do today, you know?
What am I today?
Yes, he just randomly picks something to do and be...
He's like, today I'm going to be a Louisiana police officer.
Yes, tomorrow he's a Russian spy. Next day he's going to be a Frenchman. He just doesn't
care. He's like, yeah... I'm a cop in, I forgot what parish he works in.
Yeah, it sounds south. Like, I think it's in Louisiana, or like New Orleans, or in Louisiana. Maybe?
I think it's Louisiana,
sure.
but he's from Paris, like some town. They don't call them towns. They call them like parishes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Their neighborhoods, their parishes, or something like that.
He knows to turn on his Creole accent down there.
And it's so
the
funny
Cajun accent.
Watching it. It's so fake. Like, he has like a sixth sense. He's like, hey, we just drove by that alley. I think a drug deal is going on down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how do you know, Steven? They turn around. It's like two guys.
Yeah. It's called video editing.
Yeah. It's called. editing like a real drug bust and you.
Exactly.
You're not even a real cop. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Is he? He's like a deputy or something,
yeah, he's
right?
A deputy,
like,
he's a deputy marshal or
He, you know, like he carry a gun,
like
but that's
honorary,
about it.
Honorary cop, or like a real, like you don't have enough real cops.
He's
in your
got like a certificate on his wall at home that says like he's a cop.
I think Shaquille O'Neal has one in Florida.
Literally,
like he's like a Miami deputy marshal or something. Yes, like, it doesn't mean much.
No, it doesn't. No,
I remember there's one scene in one episode where he shoots the cotton ball off of a Q-tip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is the fakest shit I've ever
seen. Oh, he claims to shoot the cotton ball.
Well, it's
Q-tip,
edited
yes.
in a way where it looks like I'm like,
of
yeah,
course, yeah. Uh-huh, okay, buddy. Yeah. Sure, Steven.
Thank you, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Movie Magic, for
thank
making
you,
him look
magic.
Like a
Christopher
real
Nolan over here yeah, directed really. His shooting scene.
Illuminate Lights and Magic over here. Gotta get special effects out so they can make Steven Spielberg like a hero.
I gotta take a break from Lord of the Rings so I can go and edit.
The special effects. Should probably get those special effects to shave off some pounds off you, buddy. Like, really?
Stop with the leather coat, pal. Or the Chinese, like, he wears those, like, Chinese dresses.
Yes, yeah. I forgot what they're called. Dresses. Yeah, like the buttons.
Like the Buddhist dress
yes,
he has on all
yes,
the freaking time.
Yeah, because to hide his waist.
But remember, he's like some Buddhist god.
Now, yes, that's right. The Dalai Lama claimed he was a reincarnated deity, I think.
Yeah, but he gave him enough money. I could give him enough money and be a reincarnated deity as well.
Yeah, but you know, don't tell Steven that, because you know he got that because that's legit. He didn't have to pay.
No, it's legit. Yeah. You know, he told Keenan Ivory Wayans immediately.
He told everybody he met immediately after that. He told the stewards on the airplane back home.
He's like, hey, ever joined Mile High Club with a deity?
It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not what they do. We should all point at their humble and making it peaceful.
Oh my god, damn it!
Praise me.
All right, that's our review for Steven Seagal's
Invisible Dragon. <No. laughs> So this is the Invincible Dragon review.
Yes, not the Invisible Man.
No. Yes,
the Invincible Dragon with Max Zhang. Not recommended.
No, do not recommend.
This is Mr. Action signing out.
And this is Frankie Cranks. Until next time, guys.